Hey guys!
Hello!
How are you doing? This is Stuart.
This is Zach.
And we are...
Me. This is a Me episode.
Yeah.
Back Row Super Show.
Back Row Super Show. This is all about us.
Yes, so this is one of the offshoot episodes where we just talk about the things we've been doing recently.
Yeah. And, what we've been doing over the week, what kind of media we've been consuming, what kind of games we've been playing, what we've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, some recommendations come out of here, some not-so-good recommendations come out of here.
Yeah, occasionally. I try to keep things positive, because one of the things I hate is listening to a...
Yeah.
Well, that statement. I want to keep it positive, because one of the things I hate. But, you know, podcasts sometimes get a little bit too into the cringy, like...
Yeah.
Slathering hate and dislike on things, and it's like, look... Not liking something that other people like doesn't make you interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make you a true hipster if you hate everything.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I feel like the things that I dislike are for critical reasons.
Yeah.
It's not just because I don't...
Personal taste.
Yeah, it's yeah. Not a personal taste thing, but...
Because you know what? I hate the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
I do. I don't like their music. But there are... quite a few other people out there who really enjoy their music.
Exactly.
And you know what? I respect that.
Yeah, everyone is... I say it all the time. Everyone is entitled to like their shitty media.
Yeah.
I like things that no one else likes because they're terrible, and I realize that.
Yep, they are.
But it's... I get enjoyment out of it, and I like sharing that with people, and if you like... other things that I tend not to, just make your own podcast.
Yeah, and, you know, I like all the good stuff. Everything that I suggest is awesome and good. So, you know, I take no criticisms. Please. Yeah. Please, no criticisms.
Yeah, just send us an email. We'll give you that information at the end, so you're gonna have to sit through it and listen to it.
Haha, we've tricked you. Now you have to listen to this to send me an email being like, Stuart, you're full of shit. Anyway, so what have you done, Zach?
So, I have a handful of movies, couple books to talk about.
Okay, yeah. I've got a handful of games, some shows, and an activity that I've done. Or, cool. Or started doing.
Cool. Well, so I'll go first.
Yeah, shoot us off, Zach.
So, my wife and I recently rewatched, I should say, because I did pay money to see it in theaters, and yeah. It is an awesome movie. I saw it with my brother in 2015. Have you ever seen San Andreas?
No.
No?
Is it the one with The Rock in it?
Yeah.
Man, The Rock's been in, like...
The Rock is in everything. You could just, like, throw a rock at any movie that's been a blockbuster.
Yeah.
He's... probably been in it somewhere.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie, but it sounds like The Rock would be in it.
It's fantastic. Like, the whole thing is about a giant earthquake suddenly happening along the San Andreas fault line.
Okay.
And he is a rescue helicopter pilot, and he's trying to get to his daughter in San Francisco from L.A.
You know, this kind of sounds familiar. Wasn't there another movie, like... when the world was coming to an end and they were, like, in a helicopter trying to rescue people? I forget what the movie was called, but...
Was it 2012?
Yeah, that was it.
I never saw that.
Oh, okay.
I never saw it.
Yeah. Half of the movie was, like, these people trying to get rescued in a helicopter and stuff. But The Rock wasn't in this movie, oh, okay. So I'm sure San Andreas was...
Well, San Andreas is fun. It's a big, dumb movie. Like, there are things that happen in it that it's just like, that... that's not how physics work, but I'll go with it. Like, I'm enjoying this.
Sure, yeah.
Like, he's in a little rubber bottom boat in one point in San Francisco, the port of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the earthquake, it's been a while. So the Golden Gate Bridge falls, I think, and creates this giant wave.
Yeah.
But it's a wave... where he's going straight up a wave with a little outboard motor rubber bottom boat. Like,
yeah.
No, physics does not work like that. You cannot do that.
Oh, man.
That's ridiculous.
But he's The Rock. He's, well, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Are you going to see Skyscraper?
No, that looks absolutely horrible.
I'm sure you're going to see it.
It looks like, yeah, I probably will, but it looks like someone said, like in a pitch meeting, said, hey.
It's the biggest skyscraper in the world.
Well, no, get this. Like, I would be willing to put money down on the way they sold this movie if someone said, all right, look, got an idea for a movie? Die Hard.
Yes.
But if Die Hard were happening during the Towering Inferno. And the guy on the other side of the table said, sold, I'll get The Rock to be in this piece of
yeah.
shit.
Oh, man. When you were talking about physics, I'm sure the laws of physics will not apply in that movie.
No. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I saw online where someone did the math behind the poster where he's jumping off of a crane.
Yeah, the super crane. It's not just a crane. It's a super crane.
He's jumping off the end of it to get to the window. And this is the poster for the movie. And someone has drawn the math equations. And they're like, he's going to miss whatever he's jumping at. Because
hey.
If we assume that he is a 300-pound, 6-foot-tall man, he weighs way too much to make that jump.
Get your math out of my movies. Out of my Rock movies.
Well, so, like, at the end of it, like, and this is all spoiler-filled or whatever.
But, I mean, it came out in, what, 2015?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah. So, like, it's 3 years old. When everything is resolved at the end, after the earthquake has happened and he's reunited with family,
yeah.
You know, one character asks him, what are we going to do? And his response is, what we always do, we'll rebuild. And then it cuts to what they're looking at, which is ruined San Francisco skyline. A big fucking American flag waving in the breeze.
Right.
And then a bunch of rescue helicopters shooting out over it. Like, so, it's the rah, rah, rah American movie that I've ever seen.
And
like,
how hard was your dick?
Oh, it was super hard.
America.
So rigid. America. So the American...
Get out your guns and shoot them off.
Well, so...
In your apartment.
I'm not surprised about this. The American Geosciences Institute, the real-life organization that monitors, like, earthquakes
yeah.
and studies them and stuff, called this movie dreadful.
Of course they would.
There is going to be a sequel. The same director.
Nice.
Rock, Carla Gugino, Paul Giamatti, and Alexandra Daddario are all going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to be called Ring of Fire. I hope against hope that the name of the movie is San Andreas : Ring of Fire, because the San Andreas Fault does not go through the Ring of Fire.
Oh, man.
I really, really hope that it's yeah.
I hope so,
it's
too.
It's set in the Ring of Fire. It's probably going to be based on volcanoes.
Maybe, yeah, like Hawaii or something.
Yeah, I don't foresee that.
And because The Rock is Polynesian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it would make sense if they were, like visiting grandma or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
With his cool helicopter.
Yep.
And it would be amazing, again, if it ends with, like, an American flag just, like, flying in the wind with jets shooting out.
Well, one of the things I liked about the movie is that he is the good guy, and he is a good guy.
Yeah. When has Rock been the bad guy, besides...
Doom.
Doom? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the Doom movie.
He was in the Doom movie. Yeah. God, I forgot. I was going to say the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
He was the Scorpion King, who was a bad guy, who got a spinoff movie.
Yeah. That movie was awesome. Did you know that the Scorpion King, I think it has 4 sequels? I think it's 5 movies.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them, I think, are straight to DVD.
God, no. I did not know that. Is Dwayne in all of them?
No, God, no.
Okay.
No, he's in the first one.
Man, we could do a whole podcast on Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
idea for an offshoot for a Patreon. If we reach a certain rank, we will watch everything that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been in, and we will dissect it with a critical eye.
This is just an idea that Zach just came out with.
Yep.
He did not run it past me.
Nope.
He is now...
You suggested it.
I just said an episode. One episode.
No.
Now you're, like, dedicating...
No, the world needs an entire podcast episode. Dedicated to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But anyway, the thing that I like about the movie is that even though he's a good guy, and granted, he's stealing it from people who are looting, but like, he straight up just steals a car because he got to get to his family, and he's not bound by the laws.
Yeah.
Like, got to get there, got to do it.
But so, did he steal a car from somebody who was stealing that car?
Well, so that was the implication.
It's a double negative, which makes it into a positive.
Well, right. So he stole it from a guy who was running in and out of a store, filling the back of it with stuff. And when he got in, it was already hotwired. And so the implication is that the guy stole the car so he could steal a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I highly recommend San Andreas. It's a big, dumb fucking movie, but it is... It's very enjoyable. There's lots of explosions, but not like Michael Bay-type explosions.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like an old disaster movie, but it's got The Rock in it.
And
bad CG.
Yeah, I have to ask one. So, when the earthquake was happening, and I assume the ground was splitting open, right?
Yeah.
Was fire shooting out from, like...
No.
Okay.
No.
So they didn't go, like, that weird.
There are scenes where that happens where, like... But it's not simultaneous. It's like there's an explosion because, like, a gas line gets cut in an earthquake.
Yeah. It's not like the earth opens up and the gates of hell are shooting out.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Brim and Firestone.
Well, so, like... Paul Giamatti plays has a character in this. He plays, there's two stories going on.
Mm.
There's the obsessive scientist who can predict these earthquakes. And he's trying to warn everyone what's going to happen at Caltech. And then there's The Rock trying to get to his family. And again, going back to this, there being a sequel set in the Ring of Fire, I don't know what the fuck Paul Giamatti is going to do when he comes back, but apparently he signed on.
Yeah.
Nah. He really chews scenery in this movie. Like, he overacts to the nth degree, and I think he's aware of how much he's overacting, and it just makes it better.
Ah.
Like, he's responding very over the top to very mundane situations, which is hilarious.
Nice. Well, one of the things I've been doing, this isn't media or anything along these lines, nothing super geeky, but I have actually picked up boxing classes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, not many of you know, but previously, when I was in high school and a bit of college, I used to do a lot of combat sports. I used to do kung fu, and it was a way that I enjoyed doing working out. It was a great way of working out because the best way to work out is make sure your face doesn't get hit. So you're really making those dodges, making those blocks. Things along those
lines. Well, don't sell yourself short, because didn't you buy a car with prize money that you won in a kumite or something? Weren't you in a kumite?
Okay. No, I wasn't in a kumite. No. Okay. I know I was going to bring up this story.
You fought Jean-Claude Van Damme, right?
No,
that was
I didn't.
How you did it, right?
I did not. So in high school, I did martial arts. We would have these tournaments that we'd go to down in Florida. Now, I was in, I think, second year, so sophomore. I was a sophomore.
Okay, yeah.
And when we would go to these tournaments, we would always sign up for particular things. Like, one would be form, other would be, you know, doing particular movements and stuff like that. I would always sign up for sparring. So, at this tournament, since we were under 18, they would do the classes by weight, not by belt.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the tournaments would do, like, oh, you're a black belt, you would fight this black belt.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, because you're trying to do it skill-based, but since we were younger, they tried to do it particularly by your weight. So you would have an even physical playing field. Also, I am a fairly shorter dude. I'm a short, skinnier guy. So I was in the lightweight class. The tournament had a $250 prize. I ended up fighting a couple of different people.
Okay.
They might have been younger kids. They might have been...
Did you kick a seven-year-old in the face?
No, I did not kick anybody in the face.
Isn't that how you win Kumite, though?
No, no. If fight... or so our sparring thing would be, you would either ring them out.
Yeah.
You would get them out of the ring. Or you would hit particular spots, and they would award you points.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. Like, yeah. My entire conception of how a martial arts tournament works is...
Karate Kid,
yeah. Mortal Kombat, movie, Street Fighter, the movie, yeah. And Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I just assume that Jean-Claude Van Damme is at
every ripping people's hearts out.
Martial arts tournament, yeah. And he is also running the Kumite and also a combatant. So, yeah.
Sub-Zero was there giving us all high fives and frosties.
That must have been refreshing.
Yeah. No, but most of this was, again, you're trying to either ring out the opponent, you're trying to knock them off their balance, knocking them on their, you know, back or butt, or scoring points by getting landing blows, basically.
Yeah.
Unblocked blows. So, yeah, I ended up fighting a lot of, I guess, younger people since, again, I was in the lightweight class.
Yeah.
A lot of younger people and a lot of, I guess, females. There were smaller guys, too, that I ended up fighting. But I won that tournament, and I got $250 plus the $250 that I saved up. I ended up buying my first car, which was really cool,
nice.
From a guy who was about to go blind. He had cataracts, so... He was going blind. And...
But you paid for it.
I didn't.
You didn't fight him.
No, I didn't fight him. Nor did I, like, you know, give him some fake money since he was blind and be like, yeah. Ha-ha.
Oh, I was just going with you fighting a daredevil man.
But... No, okay. Yeah. This guy was, he was going blind, so he couldn't drive his car anymore. And he was more than happy to sell me his car for $500. It was like a shitty... 1980s Volvo manual. It's the first time I learned how to drive a manual.
I remember that car. Yeah. You had it when we first met.
I did, because it lasted throughout high school and a bit of college, which was amazing.
Yeah, that thing was held together with hate,
duct tape, and mold.
That you have to, like punch the clutch in to get it to start.
So
like,
the clutch was so sticky.
Yeah.
It was not smooth at all.
Yeah.
So it was a horrible car to drive, but it was my first car, so it holds a special place in my heart. The thing was made out of steel. And when I was learning how to drive it, I will admit I did hit a couple of things. The thing is, like, it didn't really affect my car, so...
it's steel.
It's steel, yeah. And, you know, you hit, like, a pole, or you hit a, a mailbox, and you're like, oh, okay. And again, you know, being a dumbass kid that I was, you just drive off.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, feel bad now. But anyway, I started taking boxing classes, which is... great. I really enjoy, again, those combat sports because it makes you move. It makes you...
gives you incentive to move.
Yeah. And I guess boxing, I've never done boxing before, so it's a lot different than martial arts since you're just really throwing punches. You're not doing anything, you know, you're not throwing kicks or anything like that.
Yeah.
Your main focus with your legs is movement. And a lot of the rounds. So I've done one round with one person. And boy, those rounds are 3.5 minutes. That is the longest 3.5 minutes.
You can imagine.
Yeah. I'm in the ring. And the place is really cool. So it's like this underground place. They've got a bunch of graffiti. They've got like an actual ring with like, with the ropes and everything. And, yeah. So you get in a ring and you feel like you're actually like there fighting. That's cool. Which is super cool. Yeah. And it's all tournament stuff, like tournament size. So you get used to a normal size ring if you ever do want to like enter into tournaments. They have a bunch of tournaments there. So I just started, so it's not like I'm going to be entering into any tournaments. But my ultimate goal is, yes, I would like to box a tournament. That would be really cool. But yeah, that 3.5 minutes, the longest 3.5 minutes that I've ever felt.
I can imagine.
Then you get 30 seconds of just like, time to breathe, take your breath. I did 3 rounds. That third round, whew. I was not blocking anything, and my face was getting punched a lot.
So it was basically a 10-minute workout, then?
Because
it was...
Yes.
Yeah, because it was 3 rounds of 3 minutes and then 30 seconds. So, yeah, like a little over 10 minutes.
Yeah, so it was a little... Cool. And again...
So this is sparring, though. What did you do... What does your workout routine look like to train to
train?
Box?
So they have a bunch of... punching bags.
Okay.
So you do a lot of just work on the punching bags.
Sure.
You also do shadow boxing. They have a bunch of mirrors. Mm, so okay. You can sort of like...
Watch your form
and everything. And the big thing that I'm learning is like movement of legs.
Gotcha.
Because you really need to be moving. The way that you stand more to your side than presenting your front. Because it's a harder target.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want them, like, punching your chest or anything like that, so you're moving more towards your side.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah. And then, again, a lot of just different punching bags, because there are some punching bags that are, the big cylindrical punching bags that you think of.
Yeah.
Then there's the small ball with two ropes that you're punching. Not the one that's hanging. No, the one that's, like, from two ropes. Where you punch it, it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those, like, bop-em clowns that, like...
That moves.
Okay, gotcha.
So you get to move around and things like that. And then there is a... the punching bag where you punch and you can do the rapid punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really fun. I really enjoy it. I'm going to continue it. Eventually... I do hope to sign up for one of their tournaments and participate in it.
You have to let me know, because I would love to watch it.
Yeah, watch me get my ass
kicked. Let us know so we can advertise and have some listeners come.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I would...
That'll give you incentive to not lose.
I mean, I already had incentive not to lose, but, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself or anything like that. Be like, oh, he got knocked down the first round. And he got knocked out in, like, the first couple of seconds.
So, are you wearing, headgear so that you're not, like, risking concussion?
Yes, you got your headgear.
Fighting.
No. You're wearing the headgear, you got a mouthpiece, you've got that belt that protects, you know, your crotch, basically.
Yeah.
And, it's very clean. Again, they put, like, Vaseline on the your punching gloves and your body so they don't cut.
It slides.
It slides.
Doesn't cut, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is, like, cut somebody or something along those lines. It's going to be a long time before I actually enter into any tournaments because I'm learning the basics. But it's a lot of fun, and it's keeping me physically fit, which I'm happy about, and I'm learning a new skill.
Cool.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, I didn't do anything physically active, but I did watch XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
XXX. XXX.
Yeah, the Vin Diesel movie.
Oh, is this the second one or the
third? This is the third one. The first one had Vin Diesel.
Okay.
The second one had Ice Cube. and they killed off Vin Diesel's character in the opening credits, supposedly, but you never saw his face.
I mean, because they don't want to pay him.
Yeah, like, they didn't want to pay him, basically. And the third... So the Return of Xander Cage is the third one. The first one came out, I want to say, in 02. And so, like, it's very much, like, extreme sports and sports mix sports and whatever. Like, that's the whole thing, is that he's a secret agent that does, like, wild-ass extreme sports.
Yeah, like BMX and... skateboarding and stuff.
Well, so in this one, he is in the jungle in South America in one scene, and he is downhill skiing in the jungle.
I didn't know the jungle had snow.
It doesn't, but it has a lot of smooth surface, I guess.
I would think the jungle would have lots of vines and undergrowth.
You know, you'd think so, but then he switches to a skateboard and... hangs a ride off of a bus. Like all of his teammates in this, because he assembles a team of other extreme sports fanatics.
Wow, this isn't the Triple X that I remember. Because I remember the first one, and it was more like, I'm a secret agent, but I have my secret agent name tattooed on my back.
So this one is also kind of like an espionage movie, but it's like if a James Bond movie were written by a 14-year-old from 2004, high on Mountain Dew, watching the X Games.
Eating some Doritos?
Eating some 3D Doritos. and just, like, I don't know, writing the most ridiculous lines of dialogue ever. Like, there's a scene where he's, like...
Did your wife watch this with you? Did she watch part of it and she was like, no.
So she watched like 10 minutes and was like, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving this room because she has better taste than me.
But you finished it.
I did. I had to break it up over three settings though. Okay. I would have preferred to watch it just once.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, like, I started it. I wanted to finish it. I wanted to see how it ended, even though if I didn't care.
Was it satisfying? I mean, did it have a satisfying ending?
I mean, it's open for a sequel, I guess. I guess that's satisfying. I did not know that you could convert a dirt bike to a jet ski by hitting a button. Apparently, and the reason I say it's a 14-year-old writing this instead of an adult man, which it presumably was an adult man writing this movie. It was definitely a man. I don't know about the adult status or not. There's a scene where he's getting information from a information broker, a hacker. And she lets him... She has this, like, harem of, like, attractive ladies that entertain her guests. And then, like... There's a scene, like, the next day after she's already gotten what she's agreed to like, find for whatever information he's paying her to find.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent that Triple X has apparently single-handedly run through, like, 8 women. Okay. And it's just like,
it's good to be back.
Like, it's so over-the-top ridiculous.
Does he just have his, like, pants to his knees or something, or?
Yeah, he must. Like, jeez. He walks around in a fur jacket that looks like it's made for a woman and just talks about how beautiful he is. Like, that's the extent of that movie. It's fun, but it's even more moronic than San Andreas.
Like,
I don't know if I can... You have to have a specific taste in music. Or, not music. Movies to watch this.
So this is one that you would not recommend.
Oh no, I recommend it. It's, you got to know what you're getting into. Yeah. I recommend it. It's very bad.
Yeah. As it sounds.
It's very bad. But fun, kind of, because like I found myself being sucked in to the movie and going, "That's not how the world works." Like, what world does this take place in? And I figured out it's supposed to be in the Marvel Comics universe.
Oh.
Because Samuel L. Jackson is in it.
Oh. But not as...
And not as Nick Fury. Yeah. But kind of, like, he's a handler. He's a spy handler.
Maybe he's a young Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's supposed to be in a comic book universe, but a universe where adulthood is, like, perpetually, like, 14 and listening to, like, a ska punk band like the Vandals or something. Like, I don't know. It's fun. It's dumb, but it's fun.
I mean, and then that's basically what you're looking for is, you know, something to be fun while occupying some of your time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, one of the few things that I did was I continued watching My Hero Academia.
Okay.
Yeah, which is really good. Something I highly recommend to people. I am still in season 2, though. It is in season 3, and I know something big has happened.
Ah.
So I'm trying to, like, stay away from a lot of the internet before I can actually get there.
Yeah, the internet ruins everything.
Yeah. There's a lot of YouTube channels that I'm not watching because they talk about it.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to keep myself pure. Luckily, I'm doing it pretty well. It's sad because I can only binge about, like, 3, maybe 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Just with all my time constraints and everything like that. But they're really good. It's going through the... I just finished the tournament arc. And the tournament arc is a really good tournament arc. I know a lot of people like comparing this show to Naruto. Because it's also shonen. It's in Shonen Jump, My Hero.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
so it's still a running manga series.
It is a running series, that is correct. It's still in, like, they have a couple of panels in the big Shonen Jump, magazine, or book, or whatever it's called. So, it's really good. I really like the arc of the tournament arc compared to, like, Naruto's tournament arc. I don't want to spoil it because I recommend people going and watching it. But it turns some of your expectations on their head. And it's not super obvious. I mean, it probably is obvious for some people who pick up on those things. But I don't pick up on obvious things, which is a cursing and a blessing, I guess, because, you know, sometimes I don't pick up on obvious things with, like, social interactions and things like that, which make it kind of embarrassing. But then when I'm watching episodes or movies, people are like, oh, I saw that coming a mile away. I'm like, I didn't. I was pleasantly surprised. So,
and then sometimes you'll watch a movie and someone will go, oh, it's an allegory. And then 30 minutes later, you'll pipe up, oh, it's an allegory.
All right, so I was tired.
Yeah, that's
true. I had a couple of drinks in me. I think I fell asleep, like, halfway through that movie.
Yeah, you're right. And then I woke up. That wasn't fair. That's fine.
I don't even remember what that movie was. It was something one of our friends.
It was The Apple.
Okay, it's The Apple. Look it up. I have no idea what it was about.
It's bad.
But one of our friends who also really enjoys bad movies. Oh, Richard,
previous co-host.
He showed us this movie, and I was tired and drunk, and I fell asleep halfway through, and somebody was like, "Oh, it's an allegory," and I was like, "Yeah." Then I woke up, I was like, "Oh yeah, it is an allegory." So, yes, I can be oblivious to some things. Like I said, again, a blessing and a curse, because I do, when I come and realize it on my own, there's that, like, oh, yeah, it's this.
Yeah.
But then again, with social things, sometimes they're like, oh, that person was talking to you in a certain way. I was like, oh, I didn't even notice. I thought they were just talking to me. But yes, Hero Academia is on my recommend list, and it's something that I'm trying to power through, but I don't want to, like, power through it where I don't enjoy it.
Sure.
So I like taking in little scoops of, like, 4 episodes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, really good. Really enjoy the main character. Actually thinking about cosplaying as the main character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, at Dragon Con. So,
do you have all your stuff together, or are you still working?
I don't. That would be probably a buy from, like, eBay or something.
Gotcha.
The costume is simple. It's like a jumpsuit with a bunch of accessories.
Sure.
So it's something easy that people can make, which I will buy off of eBay. Yeah, it's either that or Krillin. I mean, because Krillin doesn't have enough love. And if Richard's going as, like, a Dragon Ball Z character, because I know he went as Vegeta, like an old Vegeta.
Yeah, Dad Vegeta.
Dad Vegeta. That could be a thing, so. So, yeah. So, Hero, recommend it. Enjoying it. Still powering through. And still keeping myself away from that spoiler. Thank goodness.
Yes, don't email us about that spoiler.
I'm not going to read it. Okay. Do I read emails? I barely know how to read. No, joking, joking. I know how to read. Come on. Anyway.
Okay, so I rewatched The Great Gatsby.
No.
The film.
Which, the newest one?
The one from Baz Luhrmann with DiCaprio,
yeah.
Michelle Williams, and Tobey Maguire.
God, yeah, I forgot Tobey Maguire is in that.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
I've seen that movie. I saw it.
Nick.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out in theaters, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
it came out in 2013. I remember taking my mom to go see it for, I think, Mother's Day.
Yeah, this is when Caprio was on his, like, on his rise.
I went to see this in theaters with my mom because Great Gatsby is her hands down her favorite book.
Okay.
I've
never read Great Gatsby.
What?
Yeah.
That might have to be a book club book.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, like, how accurate they were in the movie to the book.
So this version of the movie, one of the things that I like that it did is, so there was another version of Great Gatsby done with Faye Dunaway and Robert Redford.
Yeah, that was black and white, right?
No. It was I want to say it was 76 or 77, maybe 74.
Mid-70s.
Okay. And it's boring because they do, it's very long, very slow, mm-hmm. and it's probably more accurate in terms of depiction, like in terms of being a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, the thing that I like about what it did in terms of, like, mixing a lot of, like, rap into the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And popular music, like, with Lana Del Rey and Jack White.
Yeah, I remember there was...
It really gives you a sense of rather than playing the popular music of the 20s, it mm-hmm. plays popular music today.
Yeah,
and uses anachronism to kind of put you in the atmosphere of what's going on.
Yeah.
It's Baz Luhrmann, so it's just, like, spectacle to the nth degree, which yeah. makes sense, because Gatsby throws these gigantic,
great
elaborate
parties, yeah.
parties
yeah.
for someone who is not going to come to them, which is sad, but...
Yes. Spoilers a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean... The book it's based on is from the 20s, so I don't feel bad. It does a fairly good job of adapting the book.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, the movie starts out with him writing it in a sanitarium, but he's probably just going through, like, DTs from alcohol and...
Yeah.
Possibly cocaine abuse, because cocaine was a thing in the 20s.
Yep.
Not many people know about that.
Yes, it was.
I'm surprised, like, so the Rotten Tomatoes on it was 48%, and CinemaScore was a B. I remember walking out of the theater and having thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very enjoyable movie.
And I think a lot of my enjoyment of the movie was visual.
Yeah, because, no, the spectacle in that movie is fantastic. Yeah,
the way that they use colors, the way that they shoot it,
yeah,
some of the lighting was really good. And I do remember being enjoyed, you know, enjoyed watching Leonardo DiCaprio do his thing. Like, this was a character that he fit in really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he really does a good job of being being Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
The CG is a little bit heavy-handed, but I don't know how
else. Oh,
there's
CG in it?
There's a lot of CG.
Like, huh, I don't remember that.
They
I thought it was practical.
No. Like the cityscape and right. Stuff like that. Going like where they made it look like 1920s New York.
Yeah.
It's heavy-handed, but like there's really no other way to, because like you can't. I'm sure Hollywood wishes it could make New York look like the 20s just for a movie, but
yeah.
Like you can't force a look on it. So like I'm fine with the amount of CG in it. Baz Luhrmann's a pretty good director.
Mm-hmm.
What
did your mom think of it? Do you remember?
Oh, she really liked it.
Okay,
she really liked it. I remember her like really liking this the music in it too. So like I have a copy of the soundtrack.
And that's cool.
Or I got a copy of the soundtrack for her, and she
nice
because she really liked it. And so, and my mom doesn't listen to rap or like pop music now or anything, and she was still just like, "Oh, that's a really cool arrangement of a song." One of the things that I would like to point out, though, which I don't know why they did this, because otherwise they seem to stay fairly true to, I guess, fashions of the 1920s, mm-hmm, is that they modernized costumes, but they only modernized female costumes. So, like, in the 1920s, the look was to look as androgynous and boy-like as possible for women.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the dresses, like, emphasized flat chests.
Oh.
Like, just in the way that they were cut and the way they hung.
Yeah.
The dresses definitely went for making the boobs look as big as possible.
Huh.
Which is kind of like, okay, what? So you're being period specific for
maybe
the suits, but yeah, you're not, like, that's a little bit weird, but okay.
Maybe it's more for the entertainment of the audience.
Yeah, I mean,
just to be like, here's some eye candy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of eye candy in this, too. Like, the Tiffany partnered with whatever studio put this out and put out a, like, a jewelry line.
Oh, wow.
And if you, like, it's so decadent that I think it misses the point of the book and the movie. Because if you bought, like, I was looking online, if you bought all of the items that were in the Tiffany collection for Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
It was like $800,000 or $900,000 worth of jewelry and like tiara and necklace and bracelets and arm braces and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't think you realize the point of this.
Yeah.
Like,
huh. Wow.
So that was fun rewatching it.
Nice. Yeah. Where'd you rewatch it on? Like,
oh, I just got it from the library.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not one that I own physically, just because I live in a smaller space, or we live in a smaller space, so...
Yeah.
I mean, there's not as much storage, so I have to be kind of choosy with what I get physically now.
Yeah, so, what you put and show on your shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it for me.
Oh, yeah. I still have some stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay,
then,
all right.
Then knock it out.
Awesome.
Because I was kind of just boring over the weekend doing work stuff.
Okay, well, I think you've done some other some of this, so you can comment on some of this if you'd like. But,
yeah?
I finally got around to watching Boyhood.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
It's the Richard Linklater one where it follows this kid, but the way it was shot over like 12 years, and
yeah,
so you see this kid age in real time?
I never saw that.
Oh.
I saw a boy, the, Titi, that the director, what's-his-face, Titi, who did Ragnarok. He directed Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came out with a movie called Boy.
Oh, okay.
Which was about, like, basically New Zealand, like, being
a kid
in New Zealand.
Gotcha. Well, then, for some reason I thought you had seen that.
I've never seen Boyhood.
Yeah, Boyhood, it's interesting. It like I said, it follows a kid growing up in a single-parent household and reestablishing contact with his biological father. It's kind of slice of life. It's the message I got from it, because it's a kind of an artsy, art house type movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Is it, to me, underscored, there's a sense of nihilism in it and things not mattering. And
that's a hard message.
Well, yeah, like, it's the one that I got from it, because it was just a slice of life. Like, it follows the kid when he's, like, 6 or 7, and then it goes through when he's, like, a teenager, and his mom is in a really bad, physically and mentally abusive relationship. When he's, like, 16, and then when he's college age, and nothing in it. He doesn't really change throughout it, which, I mean, I guess the point of that is, like, people never really, like, change too much, you know?
Huh.
So, you just kind of have to accept people as they are, rather than hoping that they'll change.
Wow.
I don't know, it's a...
So, is it, like, a documentary?
No, it's not a documentary, because it's got actors, it's got,
So there was a script, you know,
written. Yeah, there was a story written out, but filming took place over several years, because you see the guy age in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's an interesting way to shoot a movie. It's definitely not practical to shoot a movie that way. Because it's like, okay, what happens if you decide later on in the script writing process that you want something else to happen.
Yeah, like an earlier scene, can't, like, make him younger.
Well, yeah, because it's very recursive. Like, it draws a lot on things that happen to him when he's a kid that get referenced later, and you see why he acts certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not a very uplifting movie, or at least I didn't take it that way.
Yeah.
But I guess other people could have other opinions of it.
Yeah. So did you, I guess, rent this one as well? Or?
It was on Netflix.
Netflix,
okay. I don't know if it's still on Netflix.
So I could watch it, maybe.
Yeah, you can maybe watch it. It's pretty long. I want to say it's close to 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, it's very good. It's worth it.
Yeah.
I watched it in one sitting.
Did it make you have the feels? Like, were you kind of...
I mean, I wasn't crying, but yeah, crying. Like, it kind of... it's kind of a downer of a movie.
Yeah.
But in a good way, I guess. Like, I don't know how to describe that. It's not depressing. It makes you reflect on your own existence, which can be kind of a downer.
So depending. It's like thought provoking.
Yeah, it's thought provoking. Okay. Yeah,
makes you sort of want to have a conversation afterwards.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. What else did I do? I'm just looking at my list here, trying to find. Yeah. Okay. So, read Michael Crichton's Congo.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't get enough of him.
I couldn't. Well, so you had my copy of Eaters of the Dead when we were doing that.
Yes.
That,
the book club.
And I got it from the library, and it was Eaters of the Dead, Congo, and another book called Sphere that I'm going through right now. I don't know, Congo, like, I like the original movie, Congo.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they had adapted it more from the book.
Okay. Is it a shorter read? Sort of like a...
It is. It's probably maybe 100 pages longer than Eaters of the Dead.
So okay.
Like 250 pages.
Yeah, like a normal length.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely detreating. Like, it's not deep or anything at all. Like, if anyone doesn't know, the story of Congo is a communications company needs a certain type of diamond that's only found in one region of Africa, and there's this lost city where the protectors have stayed around longer than the city has, so there are these vicious, like, purpose-bred apes to keep people out. And yeah, like hijinks
shenanigans
when they're trying, because this company's still sending in an expedition.
Yeah. Monkeys.
Yeah, they'll like one of the things in the movie that is happens in the book, but the book is much more of a driving force for the action, is that they're racing other companies to the source of these diamonds.
Oh, okay.
Because the first people who can claim a stake on these things has the monopoly over it.
Yeah. Right?
And so the in the book, they're kind of racing against the clock, and so, like, every little bit of time matters. And so there are these things that are referenced where they'll, like, sabotage each other.
Mm-hmm.
The characters get pulled into a police station because there's word that the Japanese consortium that they're battling against bribed the police to take them in because, of course, they bribed customs.
Why not? Yeah.
So there's stuff like that is always a through line in the book that just kind of gets dropped in the movie. Like, in the movie, it just turns into a summer blockbuster with, like, lasers and trying to sell toys.
Wow. Was there a laser in there?
Yeah, that's how they get out of Zen. Like, so the volcanoes going off.
Yeah.
Spoilers for this movie from 1993.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie, so.
So in the end, there's this the volcano in the city and the source where these diamonds is erupting. Karen, the character played by Laura Linney in the movie, she's basically a engineering prodigy, and so she engineers a laser that uses these diamonds.
Okay.
Like, it's supposed to power communication satellites, but
yeah.
I guess if you pump enough energy into it, you can make a laser. And so, like, they fight their way out of these, like, gorillas with a laser.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Hang on, is the laser, like, a continuous laser that just stays on, or does it, like,
shoot a little laser? Yeah, it stays on, yeah.
Not like a blaster.
Yeah, it's like a beam, almost.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I really recommend the book.
Yeah.
It's very much a summer read, so crack a book.
The summer.
You heathens. Yeah, crack a book, you heathens. Another book I read, it's a novella. Slow Regard of Silent Things by Patrick Rothfuss. I read in the afterword. We did a book club for Wise Man's Fear and Name of the Wind when Richard was the co-host. So it's a novella set in the same world.
No.
It doesn't focus on the main character of the books, but focuses on one of the side characters.
Yeah.
I found out in the afterword that he wanted to sell a book that has no action and no dialogue.
Then you're just writing about the scenery?
There's a character, and he describes where she's going through, and I made a note of this. There is no dialogue in this book.
Okay.
There's no action.
Okay.
The height of the plot is her making soap and scavenging items.
Boy, that's
Patrick
great.
Rothfuss needs to hang it the fuck up and stop what he's doing.
I mean, it could be for certain people. Maybe it's
for
the mundane folks who, you know, don't have enough mundane stuff in their life. They want to read about somebody making soap.
But it's like she lives in a fantasy. Like, he's writing in a fantasy world, and he put out a, like,
not everybody can be the heroes. You need some NPCs.
I understand that, but, like,
Your
the
hero...
fucking gall of this man to sell a book with no dialogue and no action. Like,
I mean,
he has a rabid fan base. I'm envious. I'm envious is what I'm saying. Because he can put out a book this boring and it still sells.
Still
like
sells.
Copies. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I wonder what the review is of that book. Like,
do people enjoy?
Yeah,
if
people are like rave about it, saying, "Ah, the soap making so great."
Yeah, like I mean, I got it from the library. Like, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
And it's a novella. It's only like 100-something pages. Like,
yeah.
It's not very long. It took
me a
day maybe to read it.
That sounds just so boring to me. My personal taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, and I like the character in the regular books, but, like, focusing a story on her when she's a probably insane, she's very insane, probably developmentally disabled, homeless girl scavenging and making, I don't know if she needs an entire novella.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to talk... Have you played through Life is Strange?
I have not, but I've heard good things about it.
Do you mind if I spoil it?
Nah.
You don't?
Nah.
You don't care? So,
Ghost?
I'm going to go ahead...
Ghost.
Ghost.
Is the spoiler Ghost?
No.
Oh.
No. So I'm going to go ahead and say... Send us an email at Back Row Super Show.
Yeah.
The book club book is Ready Player One.
Yeah, buddy.
The contest for the... Or not contest. The Back Row Nerd Fight bracket is going on.
And you
share with your friends.
Yeah, and you will be drawing for a winner.
Who will
get a super secret special prize.
Yeah, we'll contact you with the prize and arrange a way to get it to you.
Yeah, it could be a laser gun powered by a crystal.
Yeah, or monkey blood. Who knows?
No, yeah. Who knows?
And we'll put in a little spoiler wall here.
Yeah.
And just like us on Facebook, follow us, subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Back Row Super Show, four separate words. And we will see you guys next time.
Yep.
And the spoiler wall will go in here.
Oh, and you. And your head high, and your tears dry, get on without your guy. And I
was playing Life is Strange.
Yes.
I originally got it as part of a PS Plus subscription where they give you free games.
Yes, and it's a dialogue game where... dividing paths, right?
Yeah, so...
Sort of like a Walking Dead.
So, it's kind of... There's a little bit more of an action element...
Yeah.
...in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much like a Telltale game.
Okay.
It's very, I don't know how varied it is, I guess. It... comes down to one of two endings.
See, that's why I love Detroit. Because Detroit...
Yeah.
I'm almost done with that.
Oh, so, you are?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
But Detroit, when you're done with a chapter, it shows you all the branching things. So you can see the paths that you miss. So you can say, oh, that decision actually had a branch on it.
Sorry. Gotcha. Yeah, well, no, yeah, like, the Life is Strange, it ultimately boils down to, will you save your friend and destroy the town, or will you sacrifice your friend and destroy the town?
Okay.
Right?
So it's basically an off or on.
Yeah, it's an off or on, and so, but the it's one of those games where I don't think it matters that there's so little choice in the ending, it's more about how you got to that ending. Because your choice comes down to personal preference based on your interactions with people.
Okay.
Across the line, like it's more shaped like a diamond.
Yeah, it's
a diamond rather than
yeah.
a pyramid.
Because a lot of your, like, mid-choices aren't really going to affect the outcome.
No, but, like, it may... Your interactions with a character may change how you feel about the character that you're either saving or sacrificing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might end up thinking that this person's a dick, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So that might affect your enjoyment, but so it's more focused on the journey of getting there.
Okay.
It's very original. I can very much tell that... Well, I don't know if I can tell this. I have a suspicion that middle-aged, non-primary English-speaking writers wrote the dialogue for this game.
Huh. Why?
Because...
That seems odd.
As far as I know, teenage girls don't still say hella.
Oh.
They use don't? Slang that no one else use, that I've never heard elsewhere. I'm also not a teenage girl, but I have a suspicion that hella is no longer really used by the general populace. It did come out in, like, 2013, I think?
I
It came out a while ago. It is episodic. I think there's 5 chapters. Okay. There's a prequel. My wife really liked it, because she really liked Until Dawn.
Yeah.
She really liked this.
I think you guys would really love Detroit.
Possibly.
I think, yeah.
Well, like, so for her birthday earlier this year, I got her... They make a prequel called Before the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a sequel to this game, but my understanding is that it's a different characters, different place.
Yeah.
I haven't played the prequel. I don't know if she started it yet or not. But this game is the branches are fairly well written. Characters' reactions make sense to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the references to Twin Peaks in it because it takes place in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, okay.
So it's same area as Twin Peaks. I don't know how much of a draw I would have to play a sequel of this game because the characters in this are very likable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that might translate in a sequel, so I don't know how worth it the sequel would be.
Yeah.
The gameplay is very interesting, like using your time function mechanic of like going back in time for certain things.
Yeah, I know that there was that time function. But you said it came out in 2013, meaning that... They didn't probably have a sequel planned.
Yeah.
So if they do create a sequel, it would be something that, you know, they would have to kind of shoehorn in.
Yeah.
Since I'm assuming when the game wraps up, it pretty much wraps itself up.
Yeah, it pretty much wraps it up. The main character can rewind time just like 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
And the more drastic her changes are, like, her nose will bleed because she's making things go off the rails.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's just like Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah. That might be a good compare. Well, so, like, if they were adapting this, I don't think you could adapt this into a movie.
Yeah.
You would almost have to do it like the game is broken up into 5 different chapters.
Yeah.
Break it up into 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, it's written that way, and so the pacing and the ebb and flow of the story and yada, yada, yada. There's a really big twist in the middle of the game. You're never going to play this, right?
I mean, probably not.
So...
Aliens.
You're... Nope. You are a photography student.
Yeah.
Who is very, very artsy, and your friend from childhood, who you've lost touch with but have recently reconnected with, has lost a friend that she was very close to. My, like, reading between the lines, I'm pretty sure her girlfriend...
Okay.
Has just disappeared, right?
Yeah.
The twist that you... And no one in the town really seems to be interested in finding out where she went because it's like, well, she said she didn't want to be here, so she probably just
left the city.
Hitchhiked and went to L.A., and your friend is going, no, she wouldn't do that without me. Like, that's not something she would do. Well, as it turns out, your photography teacher, who is a famous famous artist.
Yeah.
He has a secret room in the woods.
Oh, he
and kidnapped. He murders people. He's a serial killer, and he has his own private collection of torture porn.
Yeah, just taking pictures of murder. Yeah.
Yeah, people that he has murdered, and she's one of his victims.
Yeah.
Which is it comes out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I assumed she was dead, but what the hell?
Jeez.
The interesting thing is that you develop this power where you can find certain photos and kind of use your time travel ability in conjunction with your art and go to that point in time where that photo was. That
sort of like the butterfly effect.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly like the butterfly effect. Because, okay. Well, actually, the little loading screen thing icon is autosave thing is a little butterfly.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He's got that power, or she's got that power.
Yeah, yeah. Which, that's an underrated movie.
I enjoyed that
movie. I like
that movie. I like the director's end of that movie better than the actual end.
Oh, is it the one where he, aborts himself?
Yes.
Okay.
So, we're running a little long on this, but anyway. The normal ending, is basically he goes back in time to where his best friend is, and he's like, don't ever speak to me. Go away from me. Just don't interact with me. Yeah. And then none of the timeline actually happens in that movie. But in the director's cut, when he's talking to his mom, she drops a line of I've had 4 miscarriages. She, drops that line on him.
Then
he goes back into time where there's, a scan, an ultrasound of him. So he jumps to the ultrasound. And then he strangles himself with the umbilical cord. Yeah. So you keep on thinking, oh, all those miscarriages are...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that ending better than the theatrical ending, but...
Yeah.
But it's a good movie. Well, I think Ashton Kutcher does a good job.
He does a really good job. He's actually an underrated actor.
Yeah.
In Life is Strange, your choice, when you jump into this, weird dream world because you're in a serial killer's head, there's a lot of the level that it's very surreal, but I can also tell it looks like they used assets from earlier in the game and they just kind of cobbled together these levels.
That's cool.
Which is really unique.
Yeah.
Because your character is a photography student, an aspiring artist, she has a lot of photos that she can jump through.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, her choice comes down to there's this big storm that's coming because she's been using her powers to do this, and it's kind of thrown off events. Mm-hmm. A giant storm hitting the Pacific Northwest that will ruin this town. And so your choice is you can let your friend that you've reconnected with die.
Yeah.
And the town is fine. Or you can sacrifice the town and your friend is still alive.
What did you do? Yeah.
I went because my wife was watching me play through
this.
My wife was playing through this.
Yeah.
And she wasn't giving me any direction. She was just like, okay, that's not what I would have done. And at the end, I go, well, I got to save my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know those people in the town. Because for the character, you've just been relocated here. It's like, I don't know this yet. That's unfortunate, but I've reconnected with my friend. That's important. And the ending is for that one is kind of lame, which sucks.
Yeah.
It's kind of the bad ending. Yeah, it's the bad ending. Mm. Even though I think it's the more compassionate ending.
Yeah.
It cuts to a music video and your friend is driving a truck and you're in the passenger seat and you drive out of town and that's it.
Yeah.
the ending that she chose, which is the right ending, is that you sacrifice your friend and everyone comes out to this your friend's funeral, and the little blue butterfly that you keep seeing in all the scenes that really matter and are like earth shattering in the game lands on your friend's coffin. It's a much better ending, and I see why it's the good ending. Yeah. I don't agree with it, though. Like, I don't...
yeah, I don't like it when games make, like, this is the good ending, yeah, this like, is don't the bad
me,
ending.
Don't give me value judgments. Let me make my own decision.
Give them, you know, equal running time.
Yeah. So that'll probably wrap up this episode.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. See you next week.
See ya. Bye.
And you tread a triple track. Your hearts are always stacked. You'll go back to black. We only said goodbye with words.